Hey, we're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Richard Harvey is a medical missionary. A medical missionary is a doctor who goes overseas and gives free medical help as part of a missionary effort in a foreign country. Richard Harvey tells this story, and it's a true story, about when he was in medical school. Now, this is one of those stories that's gotten emailed around a little bit, so it's possible you might say, I've heard this story, I got it emailed, and it might seem like kind of an email legend, but it's actually true, and you may have heard the details wrong, but it's a true story. So it starts with Richard Harvey being a freshman in medical school and going to chemistry lab. The professor of this chemistry lab was named Dr. Lee, and Dr. Lee had become kind of well-known. He had quite a reputation in their school and in their community, and it was mostly because of this lecture he did every year that people called the prayer lecture. The prayer lecture went like this. Dr. Lee would wait for the last class before Thanksgiving, and he would go before the class. This is a large class, like 500 students in this big lecture hall, but the lecture had become so popular that other people would come, like other professors would show up, and people from the community would just kind of line the walls of this classroom, and Dr. Lee would go before everybody, and he would say this. He would say, well, hello, here we are, the last class before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is this holiday when people will go home and many of us will eat vast amounts of food. And we will, before we eat, we will thank this person that everyone likes to call the Creator. And some people will have special church services where they will do this thing they like to call praying. He says, Richard Harvey says, at that point, Dr. Lee would kind of pause and he would say, by the way, is there anyone in this room who still believes in this thing called prayer? And at that point, he would take a glass flask from the table behind him and he would hold it up and he'd say, because if there is, I would like to conduct a little experiment. You all are intelligent students, and you can see that this flask is made of glass, and our floor is made of concrete. And what I would like to do is I would like to take this flask and hold it up and drop it and let it hit the floor. But before I do that, I would like to ask you to pray. You can pray. You can have your friends pray. You can have your preacher come in here and pray. But nothing you do can stop this glass flask from breaking when it hits that concrete floor. So is there anyone who still believes in prayer? Well, Richard Harvey, when he was a freshman, he was a Christian. And he said, I sat there, but I didn't say a word because I was just so intimidated. And he said, it went on like this year after year. In fact, by the time I was a senior in school, Dr. Lee had given this prayer lecture at least 15 times. And everybody kind of knew it was coming. And so he said, one day, early on in the semester, my senior year, I got a knock on my door. I opened my door, and there's a student standing there. And he says, hi, are you Richard Harvey? And I said, yeah. And he said, are you a Christian? Richard Harvey says, yeah. And he says, tell me, Richard, do you believe in prayer? He says, well, yeah. And so this kid goes on to explain that he's a freshman and that he had heard about Dr. Lee's famous prayer lecture that he gives around Thanksgiving and that God had laid it on his heart to challenge Dr. Lee. And he said, I've been asking around trying to figure out who the Christians are on campus because I'm asking if they'll pray for me to have the courage to stand up to Dr. Lee and that they would pray that the flask won't break when it hits the floor. He said, would you please join me in praying for that? And Richard Harvey says he agreed to pray for him. He says, but honestly, I was just really worried about the whole situation about the kid. So finally, a couple months go by, November rolls around, and it's the last class before Thanksgiving. And Richard Harvey says that he had a class that same exact period, but he skipped his class because he had to go and see, does the kid really stand up to Dr. Lee? What happens? And so he said, I went, I'm standing in the back, and the place was absolutely packed. And finally, Dr. Lee goes up, and he says, well, welcome everyone, here we are. It's the last class before Thanksgiving, the holiday when we're all going to go home and we're going to eat lots of food and we're going to do this thing called praying. We're going to thank the Creator for our food. And let me just pause right now and ask, is there anyone in this room who still believes in this thing called prayer? Let's stop the story there, because I want to ask you, what would you do in that situation? If you were in that room, if you were in that class, what would you do in that situation? And I think the way you answer that question says a lot about what you do or don't believe, what you do believe or what you don't believe about prayer, doesn't it? What do you believe about prayer? And I realize, by the way, that some of you are real new to all this. You're new to church, new to God, new to the idea of prayer. And you're like, I don't even know what I believe. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to figure this stuff out. Awesome. I'm glad you're here. But maybe for those of us who aren't quite so new to all this, what exactly do you believe about prayer? Do you believe that God really hears our prayers? Do you believe that God really answers prayer? Do you believe that things really happen in people's lives just because they prayed? Do you believe that there have been prayers that have been prayed that have changed the course of a human life, or maybe even changed the course of human history, and it would have all been different if someone didn't pray? I mean, does prayer really work? Does it do anything? Is there really any power in it? What do you believe? What don't you believe about prayer? Let me tell you this, just so you're clear. According to the Bible, the answers to those questions are yes, 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 and yes. Yes, God hears our prayers. Yes, God answers prayer. Yes, prayer unleashes God's power in this world. Yes, human lives have been changed by prayer. Human history has been changed by prayer. There are things that have happened only because someone prayed, and our lives would be a whole lot different if we didn't pray. And our church will be different if we don't pray. According to the Bible, the answer is yes. And I thought it might be interesting, I wish I had more time, to give you just a quick whirlwind tour of some of the prayers that are prayed in the Bible and how they're answered and how they change lives and maybe changed history. And I don't have much time, so I'm just going to give you a couple quick examples, and I'll start early in the Bible. Like, there's this guy in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, named Abraham. And Abraham doesn't have a child, he and his wife. Not unusual. The thing that's a bit unusual is he's 100. He's been trying for a long time, still doesn't have a child. He just got Willard Scott honored him for his birthday on the Today Show. You know, he's Smucker's Jelly or whatever sponsors that. And I mean, he's old now, right? And he still doesn't have a child, but he has this strong faith. And so he prays, 100-year-old dude, prays that God will give he and his wife a baby. And his wife gets pregnant. And she has a child. When Abraham's over 100, he fathers a child. Abraham, you may not know this, or you may, is considered the father of the faith for Jewish people, Christian people, and Muslim people. All three religions point to Abraham and say, that's the father. Father, get the word, father of our faith. Abraham and his wife have a child when they're over 100, and it's because Abraham prayed. A little later, the kind of nation that Israel that Abraham started find themselves slaves in the country of Egypt, and it's bad. I mean, they're being treated horribly. It's a bad situation, and so the Bible says that they cried out to God. They cried out and said, "Help us! Do you see our plight here?" And the Bible says that God heard their cries, and he goes to this guy named Moses, and he says, "It's time for my people to leave slavery because I've heard them pray. And you're going to lead them out of slavery." And Moses does. He leads them out of Egypt, and the whole thing is called the Exodus. And the entire Exodus is the result of prayer. It's because they prayed. And so Moses leads them out, and they're leaving Egypt, and they're being trailed by the armies of Egypt who are trying to get them. And they come to this big body of water, the Red Sea, and all the Israelites just start screaming at Moses. They're like, "What did you do? Look what you did. You let us out of here, and the armies are chasing us, and here's this water we can't cross. What do we do, Moses? What do we do?" And you know what Moses does? He prays. He stands at the edge of the water. Anyone else could have. Right? They could have prayed, but they didn't pray. Moses says, "God, help us." And God parts the water, and the Israelites walk through as on dry land. And it's because Moses prayed. As they continue their journey out of slavery, there's this one point where there's only one source of water, but the water's bad. And as people drink it, they get sick, and some of them are dying. And again, all the people go to Moses, and they're like, Moses, look what you did. You let us out, but now we're all going to die here because there's no water except for this bad water. What do we do, Moses? We need water, Moses. What do we do? You know what Moses did? He prayed. They could have prayed. They didn't. Moses prayed, and God speaks to Moses. I don't know how he did it, but he says, cut down this tree, throw it in the water, and we'll make the water good. Weird plan, but Moses does it. Water's good. Everyone's okay. And the whole thing happened because Moses prayed. Later in the Bible, there's this other guy. It's one of my favorite people to read about in the Bible, named Elijah. And Elijah has some wild things happen because of prayer in his life. Elijah became a prophet of God, kind of a spokesman for God. God would give Elijah messages to speak, and he would share kind of like a sermon kind of thing, but God told him what to say exactly. And so there's all these times. Like there's this one time where Elijah finds himself in this like battle royale against the prophets of Baal. Now, Baal was a false god that people had made up. They made up all these different gods that they worshiped. There's this kind of god and that kind of god. Baal was one of the gods, and Baal had 450 prophets, 450 people who consider themselves, you know, the spokespeople for Baal. And at this point, God has one, just Elijah. And there's this big debate about who's the real God. And so they go up on this mountain called Mount Carmel. I've been there. And they're up there, and they're having this big challenge of who has the real God. And so Elijah says, here's how we can do it. I propose we both do something, and it will reveal who the true God is. And what do you suppose Elijah proposed that they do? Pray. He said, let's both pray to our God, and let's do this. Let's each put a sacrifice out, and we'll pray to our God and ask our God, you ask your God and I'll ask my God, to ignite, to put into flame the sacrifice. Whoever is God answers by fire, everyone will know that's the real God. And so the prophets of Baal are like, you're on. 450-1, I like these odds. And so they both build their sacrifices and put their sacrifices up, and the 450 prophets of Baal pray all day long. And Elijah doesn't pray, he just watches them, and he trash talks them. It's really funny. At one point he's like, perhaps your God's kind of indisposed in the bathroom or something. Like, he doesn't seem to be answering you. And he's just sitting there laughing at him. And they're praying and praying. Come on, Baal, set this thing on fire. Finally, it's about to be nightfall. So what Elijah does is he gets buckets of water. And he pours them, bucket after bucket, on his sacrifice, making it, you know, impossible to set on fire. And then he prays. He says, God, light this thing now. God answers with fire, and all the people realize his God's real. Their God isn't. There's this other time in Elijah's life where he becomes friends with this widow and kind of helps care for their family. And one day, this widow, all she's got is a son. One day, the son comes in from working in the field, and he's like, Mama, Mama, my head. This is my little version of it. I don't know if that's really what it looked like, but this is how I picture it. He's like, my head. Boom, and he just falls down dead. And the widow's like, this is all I have. This is my son who I love. And so she says, Elijah, he's dead. Do something. And Elijah does something. You want to guess what he did? He prays. He prays. He says, God, you're going to raise this kid from death to life. And God answers Elijah's prayer. And the boy comes back to life. All through the Old Testament, I wish I had more time. All through the Old Testament, God answers prayer. And guess what? It's not just the Old Testament. It's the New Testament, too. All through the New Testament, God does incredible things just because someone prayed for it to happen. And check this out. It's not just the New Testament. It's also now, today. God has not stopped answering prayers and doing amazing things when people will pray. I thought, man, I'll share some examples. And honestly, I have some examples from my life. My life, since I kind of started following Jesus 20 years ago, has just been a series of God answering prayers in amazing ways. And I was like, what do I share? There's so many. Like, I thought I could share some just from my personal life and my family life, and there's so many. Like my wife and I have had two times, and someday I'll tell you the whole story. We have had two times where we needed money. I'll be honest and tell you, we had one time where we needed money and one time where we wanted money. But the one time we needed money, it was like, we needed a couple thousand dollars or we were going to be in a bad situation. The other time, we wanted a couple thousand dollars for something we wanted to do. And both times, we said, well, We don't have it. There's no chance of us getting it, but we could pray. And so we decided to just pray that somehow God would help that thing to happen and that thing to happen. And both times, we didn't tell anybody. We didn't share it. We just prayed. And both times, no joke, I promise you, both times we received checks for not some money, the amount we needed. Exactly. And I'll tell you the stories, crazy stories of where those checks came from, like bizarre things. I have all kinds of stories like that. I thought I could share stories with you from the churches I've been a part of, that I've worked at. Like the first church I worked at was outside of Washington, D.C., and for instance, we had a little small group there, and in my small group there was a guy named Kevin. Kevin was in the reserves, and one day he showed up at group, and something wrong. I was like, what's wrong, Kevin? He said, man, we just found out we're getting called up. We're going to the Middle East. We're leaving like a couple weeks. And we're like, whoa. And he's like, yeah. And we didn't want him to go. Kevin didn't want to go. His wife really didn't want to go. They were newly married. They had just moved. And we said, well, let's just pray. Maybe God will do something. Let's pray that you don't have to go. Let's just pray. And so we prayed and prayed. And a couple weeks later, his reserve unit, true story, his reserve unit's lined up, and the commander dude says, all right, I'm gonna read off your name, and if I read off your name, you're going, and here's the date we're leaving and whatever, and when I read off your name, you're dismissed, and you know, you can go tell your family you're going. And so he reads off the name, and person after person, he says their name, and they walk and they leave, until finally, he gets done with the list, and Kevin is standing there by himself. And Kevin says, sir, you didn't call my name. And he says, I must have missed it, let's go back through the list. And he reads through the list again, and Kevin's name isn't on the list. And he says, you're not going. Kevin says, I don't understand. I'm the only one here. Like, why would it just be me? The guy says, I have no idea. I've never seen anything like this. Kevin didn't go. A couple years later, we moved to Virginia Beach where we started a church. And for instance, there's a girl in our church named Natalie Grant. And Natalie came to our, again, she's in my group, and this group my wife and I led. She came to our group one night and told us that she had been to the doctor the day before and found out that she had cancer. And she had had it for a while undetected, and it had already spread to several parts of her body. And she said, they're telling me I'm going to need surgery. They're going to try to remove some of the tumors in 2 months, I think it was. But, you know, they need to do certain things in advance. And so we said, well, let's pray. And so we spent that whole night praying. And we would get together just to pray. When she had appointments, we would have people go with her and just sit in the doctor's waiting room and pray while she was in the appointment. We had people who fasted and prayed. Like, we would say, let's just not eat tomorrow, and just all the time that we would have eaten, let's just pray during those times. And so finally, the day before her surgery comes, and the way they did it is they had her go in to get, I'll say x-rays, I don't know what the technical word is, to show where the tumors are and how big they had gotten so that they would be ready for the surgery the following day. She goes in to get her x-rays done, and they do the scan, whatever, and there's no cancer. And the doctors are like, let's do this again. You were here a week ago, and you have cancer. It's actually spread quite, let's do it. No cancer. And they said, we've never seen anything like this. We don't know what to do about this. And Natalie said, I have a group of people who have been praying for me. And the doctor actually said, and he's not a Christian, he said, I want to learn more about this because I'm going to write a report on the power of prayer and healing, because there's absolutely no other explanation for what's happened. And that church we started in Virginia Beach, the whole story is just of answered prayer requests, of just praying and God answering. We moved there, we didn't know anybody. Like, when we moved here, we had a few people with us, and we knew a few people. We didn't know anybody, we didn't have anybody. And so, after being there for a couple months, we still had nobody. Like, nothing was happening. It was bad. And so we decided to do a picnic, and we made this crappy flyer, to be honest. And it said, if you don't go to church and don't like church but want to help us start a church, come to this park, and we'll tell you about this church we're starting. But if you go to church or like church, you're not allowed to come. And so it's like, that's going to work. And, you know, what kind of person doesn't like church, doesn't want to go to church, but wants to start one? Yeah. And so I prayed like a madman that God would give us 10 people. I'm like, God, just 10 people. If we had 10 people, oh my goodness, it'd be huge right now. And maybe someday we'd have 20, you know, if we had 10. So just 10 people show up at this picnic, please, God. But God did not answer that prayer. 104 people came to that picnic. And out of those 104, 89 got into our church and started the church with us. At the end of the first year of our church in Virginia Beach, we had two 2 weeks left until our one-year birthday, and we had a baptism service planned on our anniversary, and I kind of looked at our records, and I realized that we had had 68 people who had given their lives to Christ and gotten baptized in our first 50 weeks, and I said to my wife and to the other pastor and nobody else, I said, I know numbers aren't important. What matters is individuals, like one person is what matters, and their life and their relationship with God, their heart, but wouldn't it be cool, like, if in our first year we had 100 people, like, just an even 100 people give their lives to Christ and get baptized? And they said, that was cool. That would be cool. But in 50 weeks, we've had 68, which is an average of slightly more than one a week. And we have 2 weeks left, and we had three people who had said they might want to be baptized. And so we have three possibilities. But to have 32 people that day, yeah, it's not going to happen. I said, well, we could pray. Let's pray about it. And 2 weeks later, we did that baptism service. And do you want to guess how many people gave their lives to Christ and got baptized that day? 32. It's a true story. And then you think about Verve, and some of you know this, some of you don't, but it's just been, we're still so new, but it's been a series of prayer, answered prayer. My wife and I decided to come here, and people tell us, you should ask people to move with you. And I said, I'm not going to ask anybody to move with us. And part of it was, I can kind of talk people into things. I didn't want to talk anybody into it. And then also, I assumed nobody would come. Did you guys ever see Jerry Maguire? I didn't want to be like Jerry Maguire holding the fish going, who else is going with me? And it's like me and the fish. And I ask all these people, and everybody says, no. I'm like, I'm not going to just keep getting turned down. I'm not asking anybody. And so we didn't ask anybody, but we prayed. And we said, God, if there's people you want to come with us, would you send some people with us? And pretty soon there's about 20 adults who are calling us and emailing us and saying, hey, God told me to go with you. And we all move out here. We move out here, and we knew just about no one, but we said, you know what, God, can you just connect us with some people who can help us start this church? And boom, there's people. And then we said, God, it's going to take money to start this church. And we decided to start it in the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. But we need to get money from people around the country who are willing to help us do this thing. And God provides the money we need to start the church and get this great facility. And this facility, man, if you knew the whole story of how we got this and how much we paid for it, which I am prohibited from telling you how much we pay for this, but it's a really good deal, or the fact that we didn't get our permit to start doing construction until the week of our grand opening. I don't know if you know this, but we actually completed construction at 4:30 a.m., and our first service was at 10 a.m., so 5.5 hours before our grand opening service was when we got done with everything for this building. I mean, Verve already, just the beginning of it, has been just answered prayer after answered prayer. And the deal is that God answers prayer. That God's power is unleashed, that he cares about what we care about, and he gets involved when we ask him to. The Bible says this over and over. I want to show you a few verses where God tells us that he'll answer our prayers. So we'll put them on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we'd love to give you one just as a gift. On your way out today at the Welcome Center, just say, have a Bible, or just grab one. You don't even have to talk to anybody if you're shy. No catch, no cost. We'll just give you a Bible. But if you don't have one with you today, we'll put the verse on the screen. So like in the Old Testament, God says this in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call to me, and I will answer you. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. He's like, just ask. And then in Matthew chapter 21, again, Jesus is talking. And he says this. He says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith, and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And then if we turn to John, in John chapter 14, Jesus says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And then again, in John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. And then the last one, in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Man, according to the Bible, prayer is big stuff. According to what God's given us in the Bible, prayer is like powerful. It's intense. This is real stuff that we're dealing with. It unleashes God's power into our lives and into our situations. According to the Bible, the answer to all those questions is yes, 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 yes. And we need to pray. In fact, my challenge for you today comes from the Bible, from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. And we'll put this on the screen as well, where it says this. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Let's read that again. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Someone has paraphrased that just to make it simple and easy to remember. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Right? You know, there used to be the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," and it's like, that's a nice sentiment, but how do you actually do that? You're not offering me any practical help here. You know, what do I do? But this is practical. It's saying you have a God who loves you more than you love you, who has more power, who has more control than you have, and so instead of worrying, don't just stop worrying, and then what do I do with all my problems? Hand them to God. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, and trust that there's a God who loves you and has power and is in control, and he will take care of you. And so my question for you today is this. What if you actually did that? Like, I'm not talking in general, I'm talking about you. What if you became, and you might laugh at this and go, man, you don't know me very well. I don't care. What if you became a man of prayer? What if you became a woman of prayer? What if you became the kind of person who prayed about everything? Everything in your life, you said, you know what, I'm going to take that to God. He loves me, I trust him, he's got power, he's in control, I'm going to pray about everything. What might happen in your life? What might happen in your life? Like, let's say you're single. And let's say right now, like, the desire of your heart is, I just want someone. I want someone to have, like, a committed, you know, long-term relationship with. I want to get married, whatever. What if you prayed about that? Have you? Have you really prayed about that? Not just throw up token prayers, but have you really prayed about that? And what if you did? Like the God who has the power to create the entire universe out of nothing, do you think that God has the power to send Mr. Right or Mrs. Right your way? The God who cares so much about you that he let his son come down to earth to live for and die for you. Do you think he cares enough about you to want to meet this need that you have? So what if you prayed? Could God send the right person to you? And that would be easy for God, right? It wouldn't be like, oh, how am I going to do that? It'd be easy for God, right? So what if you prayed about? And if God didn't answer that prayer the way you wanted immediately, could it be that God knows better than you do? Maybe what God is saying to you is, you know what? It's only when you're content in me that you'll be able to have a healthy relationship with someone else. As long as you need that person and you don't realize that I'm enough for you, you can't really have a healthy relationship with that person. So let's get you to a place where you're content with me alone, and then I would love to give you that person to share your life with. What if you prayed? What if you prayed, and what if you trusted God? Or let's say that you're struggling with an addiction, whatever it is. It's drugs, it's alcohol, it's you name it, you know your addiction. And you don't know how to get unstuck from that. What if you prayed about it? Not like right before you do it, you go, God, help me tonight. I'm about to do it anyway. It didn't really matter, but God, help me. Okay, God, I'm going to do it right now. You know, what if you really started to pray? Like, what if you got other people praying? What if you woke up every day going, today's another day where I'm not going to do that, God, because you are going to give me the power to not do that, God. I've proven that I don't have that power, but you do. And so I'm asking you today, not going to be me. We're not going there. Do you think it's possible that God has the power and cares enough about you to give you a way every single day out of your addiction? Of course he does. Of course he does. Could he do that in your life? Absolutely could. He would. He'd love to. And so what if you prayed? What if you prayed? You know what else you could pray for? It's like all the areas of uncertainty in life, all the areas that aren't like so black and white, like, man, do I take this job or that job? It's the person I should be dating. Maybe should I move from Vegas or do I stay here? Do I just need to give up drinking altogether? Where should I serve and give my life to? How much should I give? Just all those questions that we wrestle with. Instead of just trying to be logical and figure it out and weigh my... what if we prayed? Like, what if we really prayed and we asked God to speak into our lives on all those kind of areas of uncertainty? Do you think it's possible that God could speak to you. And I'm not saying like audibly and you start hearing voices and, you know, pretty soon I'm visiting you in the mental hospital, but only during visiting hours for pastors. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like, could God speak into your heart that this decision you haven't been able to figure out, you really pray about it. Maybe you ask some friends, pray for me to get wisdom, that you just have this certainty and that you know it's from God, that it's like, I know what I'm supposed to do. Do you think it's possible that God could speak into your heart in that kind of way? Yeah, he could. That wouldn't be hard for God. Of course God can do that. And so my challenge to you today is for you to become a man of prayer. It might sound funny for you. Or a woman of prayer. You might go, that is the furthest thing from me. Doesn't mean you can't become that. What if you prayed about everything? What if you had the kind of relationship with God where you talked to him about everything? What might God do in your life? Well, before we finish, let me tell you the rest of the story. Remember where we were? Richard Harvey is now a senior in medical school, and he shows up at Dr. Lee's famous Thanksgiving prayer lecture because he wants to see about this freshman kid who claimed, I hope I have the courage, I'm going to try to stand up to him, and I'm going to pray that the flask won't break. And so Richard Harvey's standing in the back, and he already found the kid. You know, he said, there he is, the kid who talked to me at my room. And Dr. Harvey, or Dr. Lee goes up, and he says, welcome. And here we are, the class before Thanksgiving, where people are going to go home and do this thing called prayer. And then he says, by the way, is there anyone in this room who still believes in this thing called prayer? And Richard Harvey says, I fix my eyes on that kid. I'm staring at him, like wondering and praying, is he going to do it? What's going to happen here? And the kid raises his hand. He says, yes, Dr. Lee, I do. Dr. Lee says, isn't this interesting? Look at this, everybody. We have someone who still believes in praying. Isn't that great? Well, young man, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to conduct a little experiment, but before I do, I'm going to give you a chance to pray. As you can see, this flask is made of glass, and our floor here is concrete, and so I am going to drop this flask, and it is going to break. But before I drop it, I'm going to give you a chance to pray that the flask won't break. And you can pray all you want. We'll give you as much time as you need, but that's the experiment. You need to pray that the flask won't break. Are you ready? And this kid says, yes, Dr. Lee, I've been ready. Dr. Lee says, okay, well, I think we all need to get very quiet and very reverent because, ladies and gentlemen, there is someone in this room who is about to pray. Let's let him pray. And so this kid stands up and he says, dear God, he says, you know that I've been praying about this since the beginning of the school year. And God, I pray right now that for your sake and for your glory, the flask won't break. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And Dr. Lee smiled and he said, okay, that's your prayer. He says, well, here we go, everyone. Let's see what happens. And he held up the glass flask and he dropped it. And as it fell to the ground, God drew it in. And when the flask got to the floor, it hit the toe of Dr. Lee's shoe, and it rolled off without breaking. And the entire class went nuts. They laughed and screamed and started ridiculing Dr. Lee. And he ordered everyone to leave his classroom immediately, and he never did the prayer lecture again. You know, the most powerful thing to me was when Richard Harvey tells the story, he says, you know what I did? He said, I went back to my room, and I fell on my knees, and I cried. I wept. And he said, I prayed. And he said, because I had been through the lecture. I believed in God. I believed in prayer, and I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. And he said, that day, I prayed, oh, God, please help me to live like I really believe in you. Wouldn't it be great if we became people who lived like we really believed in God? I wonder what he would do in your life. I wonder what he would do in my life. I wonder what he would do in this church. I wonder what we could do in this community and in the world. What if we prayed? What if you and I, what if we became wet men and women of prayer? All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a chance to pray right now. We're going to give you a couple of minutes, and I'm just going to ask you to pray, okay? Don't start thinking about what you're doing next or what's the score of the game or, you know, sir, it's about to end. Let me get my stuff together. I want you to pray, okay? And maybe you could do this. Maybe you could think, what do I need to pray about? What's the thing that I should have been praying about? It's like a big thing to me. It's this big decision. It's this big situation. And pray about that. And believing that God has the power to intervene in your situation, that you can unleash God's power and invite him into your situation if you just pray about it. And so what do you need to pray about? And if you can't think of anything else, maybe pray about this. Pray, God, help me, please, God, help me to live like I really believe in you. Would you turn me into a man of prayer? God, would you make me into a woman of prayer? I want to spend the rest of my life in this love relationship with you, developing intimacy with you, and asking you about everything. I don't need to worry about anything, God. I want to pray from now on about everything. Okay? So we're going to give you a little bit of time to pray. During this time, we're also going to have our band come up, and they're going to play some music, but just kind of background music to just kind of set the mood for you. And we also make communion available. You know what communion is? Communion is a sign that God answered your greatest prayer request before you ever even knew to pray it. That's what communion is. Communion is a sign of the greatest answered prayer that's ever happened in your life and ever will. Because God looked at our situation and he realized that we had made a mess of our lives and that we had broken off our relationship with him. And God provided Jesus. In communion, there's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent the body and blood of Jesus. And it's this tangible way we have to remember that Jesus went to the cross for us so that we could have relationship with God. And that this reminder that before we even knew to pray it, God sent Jesus as this answer to the greatest prayer request we could ever pray, which is, God, save me. Give me a relationship with you and give me eternal life in heaven. And so if you'd like to take communion, you certainly don't have to, but we have it at the tables in each corner with candles, and you can take a piece of bread and a cup of juice and bring it back to your seat and kind of use that as part of your prayer time and thank God for the fact that he answered the prayer. Maybe you never even prayed in Jesus. So let's pray. God, I want so much to live like I really believe in you. God, I want this to be a church full of people who live like we really believe in you. And I recognize we have people who come here, and I'm sure there are people here this morning who consider themselves atheists and say, I don't believe in God at all, so why should I live that way? And I'm just very grateful that they're here, and they gave an hour of trust to us of wanting to come and explore all this with us. But God, for the rest of us, for people who claim we believe and are on the path of faith, God, would you help us to live like we really believe in you? And would you help us to live lives of dependence on you, that we don't need to worry about anything because we pray about everything. And we truly believe that your power is unleashed in our lives and on the face of the earth when people pray. God, as we enter in these next few minutes, would you help us to pray, to not get distracted by anything that's happening in the room or what we have to do after we leave here, but to really spend some time praying to you about the hardcore things that we need to pray about. God, would you help us to pray that we would become men and women of prayer, and would you help us to be thankful for answering the plea, the cry of God, save me, when you sent Jesus who died for us on the cross, and thanks for your communion as a reminder of that. God, we pray all these things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.